tole de melo noije metaloko ba me mokuro. Sing it two more times. Onko tole de melo noije metalo. Almighty God, oh God, to bale de mi lo no lua meta lo ko ba mi mukuro. Lord, we ask of you that this morning your word will come unto us with power. And whatsoever it is that is like a tendency that can work against us tomorrow, that can cause a fall, let your word locate it and remove it from our lives in the name of Jesus. Help us this morning. Help us this hour. Thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Please be seated. This morning, within the few minutes we have, we want to look at the reason why some leaders among those recorded for us in the Bible failed to stand firm in the faith. We have seen quite a number that stood for God and how God stood with them. But let us look at very few who failed to stand and what caused it. What was the pitfall the enemy put on their way? What was the snare they fell into? And the purpose of it all, according to Romans chapter 15 verse 4, is so that you will escape the snare, you will escape the pitfall. The first reason we want to look at, which is very evident in the life of the young prophet, whose name was hidden from us, but his exploit was recorded in 1 Kings chapter 13. Through his life, we see the very first reason why some leaders fail to stand firm in the faith. And the reason is simply that in the life of somebody, when the word of God has not yet become a final authority, the devil can capitalize on that loophole. When he notices that for this fellow, the word of God is not yet a final authority, devil is just looking for a chance and an opportunity. In 1 Kings chapter 13, the Bible introduces the man to us in verse 1 as a man of God. So you don't doubt the fact that here is a man that has been walking with God. Here is a man that qualifies to be called a Christian leader, a church leader. 1 Kings chapter 13 verse 1 says, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel." Aside from the fact that he was a man of God, he was a leader, It was everything your heart ever desired to be for God. He was also a man being led by the word of God. He had access to hearing God. He came by the word of God out of Judah unto Bethel. And after the time he arrived, Jeroboam was standing by the altar to burn incense. This is a story we know so well, so we are not going to bother to read the entire chapter. We just pick some few verses out of it, and you remember what transpired between him and Jeroboam. How his prophecy didn't go down well with Jeroboam. And he felt, after all, I'm the reigning king here. Let me show this guy, I'm the king. You remember what happened? The hand of Jeroboam became withered. God, a great anointing must be at work. Don't you like that kind of anointing? Down. Hey! Praise the Lord! I'm happy Reverend has answered. That any enemy that dare to raise his hand against me, what happened to the hand? It withers. And I pray God will give you that kind of anointing. That makes you become untouchable. So look at the man in question here. Yeah, he was not a kid. He wasn't a kid in ministry. He knew what he was doing. But there remained one thing for him, which I am praying that God will give you this morning. With all his experience of God, his power, his knowledge and everything, the word of God was yet to become a final authority for him. So after that great feat, and Jeroboam pleaded for mercy, and he had mercy on him, the hand was restored back, he finished his assignment, the king begged him, I have an honorarium for you. He said, no. Alright, can I entertain you? No way, because God has told me to collect nothing. And the route through which I entered the town, I mustn't take the same route back. Up to that point, he was doing well. And then the news of the exploit got to a older prophet, who at that time lent himself as an instrument to the devil. Because there's no doubting the fact that the older prophet also was a man of God. No doubting that fact. But he lent himself to the devil at that moment. May you not meet a man of God who lends himself to the devil. Amen. Because the confusion can be so much. So he got to say, get me the old saddled. And he caught up with the man of God. Look at where he caught up with him. Let's look at verse 13. Verse 13. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the horse. So they saddled him the horse, and he rode thereon. Verse 14. And went after the man of God, and found him doing what? And found him sitting under an oak. When you should be standing, may you not be found sitting. Yeah. There is time for everything, beloved. On assignment for God, and he was found sitting under an oak. The other day we talked about the undoing of David also. The time he should be in the battlefield, he was tying towel at home. And that was when he was caught off guard. A man on such an assignment like this, be careful. I like that song that says, Christians seek not yet repose. It's a song for every servant of God. The instrument that the devil just got hold of found a young prophet doing what? Sitting under an oak. And that was the first mastery the devil gained over him. Do you call night vigil for your church? Or you declare fasting for everybody in your church? And here you are not sick. But by 8 a.m., you are taking tea, bread, and fried egg. And you are the one that declare fasting. You are caught off guard. You are programming yourself to be caught off guard. To declare a sacrifice for the people of God. Only for you yourself to be helping yourself in your dining room or bedroom. The man of God sent by God, when he should be standing up and doing, he was caught sitting under an oak. And then the old prophet, since he had already lent himself to the devil, and there are so many examples like that in the Bible. What about Balaam? What do you say happened to Balaam? Wasn't he a man of God? He lent himself to the devil. And he was warned. Even a donkey spoke. Even a donkey wounded him. Brushed his feet against the wall. But that moment something had taken over the brain of Balaam. May you not fall into that pit. If you think that what the Bible records, they are not happening today, you are living in delusion of grandeur. You are not realistic. And if you think that, if you hear any negative news about any man of God anywhere, the warning are not there in the Bible, you don't love yourself. You are not doing yourself a favor. The warnings are there, beloved, of whom you should be and where you should be part time. And the Bible says the commandment of God are not cumbersome, isn't it? Easy to obey. So the older prophet, who had already lent himself to the devil, brought out the first joker. Man of God, let's go back home. Said, no, this is what God told me. Then you must have laughed. Before you were born, we have been prophesying. An angel appeared to me and said, go and bring him back home. So how old are you? Look at the gray hair on my head now. Come on, get up, let's go. Have you not heard about Samuel and Eli? That at a time, Samuel couldn't understand the voice of God. Eli helped him. Come on, young man. Get up and let's go. And they got up and followed him. Demons must have been rejoicing. And upon finishing the sumptuous meal, the same old prophet got up and did what? And prophesied. Did his prophecy come to pass? Sure! Because you have disobeyed the voice of the Lord, when you leave this place, a lion will find you and finish you. And when the young prophet left the place, truly, truly, a lion found him and finished him. May you not meet a man that has lent himself to the devil. And may you not be there when devil had a one chance opportunity of entering into partnership with any man of God. And when the news came back to the old prophet in verse 26, And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard about the death of the young prophet, he said, well, it is the man of God who was disobedient. Who was the instrument of disobedience? He was the one. But hear him talk. Hear him talk. He said, that corpse you found by the way, killed by lion, that's the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. And therefore the Lord delivered him unto the lion. And yet you still think this is not a matter to take seriously. That you become another Rechabite for God in your generation. That the word of the Lord will have a final authority over your life. If God has said it, he has said it. No other human being can say otherwise. Herein I stand in that which God has said. Even though he slay me, I will still trust him. Faith, after all, means confidence and trust in the love, the power, and the personality of the one that is leading you. That is faith. That is faith. And for that faith to be faith in your life, the word of God must have a final authority. No president, no governor, no king, no man of God anywhere is allowed to question the lordship of Jesus over your life. It's not going to happen by accident, beloved. It's not going to happen by luck. One day, who concern my shelling? No. It's going to happen by a decisive action. By a decision which you make specifically. Enthroning Jesus, the Lord, over your life. Not only your Savior and Master, but the Lord. The one whose words carries the final authority. If he has said it, he has said it. It is unquestionable. Do you even know how Paul put it? He said, what we have preached unto you is the word of God. If anybody come back to say something otherwise, call him anathema. That is a man who was teaching his disciples how to make the word of God the final authority over his life. I want you to make this action a specific one. God reckons with whatsoever comes out of your mouth and is coming from your heart. After all, the Bible says, with mouth confession is made, with heart you believe, isn't it? Whether when we are praying here today or when you get back to your room, take action. Lift your Bible to heaven and say, Almighty God, I'm rededicating my life to the entirety of the Word of God. The Word of God is the final authority over my entire life, over my home, over my ministry, over my pilgrimage. It's a specific decision someone needs to make. That's the reason why this young man of God didn't stand firm in the faith. He was anointed. He was knowledgeable. But that salient thing was missing in his life. And I quickly look at point number 2. Why some leaders fail to stand firm in the faith. They live by sight. They live by sight. Somebody once made a very dangerous statement in my office. We were talking and he said, sir, I believe that wherever there is gold, there is God. I said, bro, I differ from that too. And I dissociate myself from that statement too. He said, no, I mean it, sir. Wherever there is gold, there is gold. You know what the young man was saying? That if you look at the offer and there is money there, it is juicy. God supports it. Come on, go in that direction. I said, bro, you are wrong. You are being led by your sight. That was the undoing of Lot. When his uncle said, we don't need to be quarreling. Just look around, choose the side you like. And he lifted up his eyes. He saw the terrain, the vegetation towards Sodom and Gomorrah. I said, come on, that is it. And that led to his undoing. Thank God for the mercy of God through the intercession of Abraham. He too could have become ashes in Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't be led by sight. Be led by God. If you are a student pastor, when you finish your training, and offers are coming right, left, front and back, and one of the offers happened to be Lekki in Lagos. Are you hearing me? And when you look at the figure, you say, wow. Even my friend that got job with So-So-So Bank is not any up to this. Come on. If there is gold there, there is gold there. That's a mistake. Be led by God. Time wouldn't suffice for me to tell you a story that I believe could help some of us here, but maybe that story could be coming some other time. But in your pilgrimage, please, don't be led by your physical eyes, but be led by God. Point number three. Why some leaders, we are talking about leaders this morning, why some leaders fail to stand firm in the faith. Lack of focus, which usually lead to the error of here and there. Lack of focus, which ultimately leads to the error of here and there. In 1 Kings chapter 20, an unnamed minister acted a drama in order to convey a message to King Ahab, the king of Israel. Can you remember the drama? He turned to one of his fellows and said, come on, wound me. That one refused to warn him. He got so angry. He prophesied and the guy was consumed immediately. Must have been under something very heavy. Heavy anointing. He turned to another one. Warn me, time is going. We need to convey a message. That one wounded him. So he disguised himself and waited for Ahab. And when Ahab came, he said a man was in the battle. And the battle was going on. And somebody was given to him to keep. And when they came back, they said, where is the guy you were asked to keep? When I was busy here and there, he was gone. King Ahab said, you know the judgment too. You two have declared it. Then the prophet said, Oga King, you are the one. And the king knew this is the word of the Lord. The Bible says he went back to his house surely. Sad, heavy, unhappy. He knew God has spoken. The error of here and there. Something was committed into his care. He said he left what was committed to his care and he was running here and there. And eventually, the primary assignment got lost. Don't fall into that pitfall. It's not a good one. There is a story I hate to remember. Several years ago, of a young man who just completed his master's degree in theology. And God had mercy on him. He was given a big church by a denomination to go and pastor in northern Nigeria. Few days before he left this Ilorin, he came to my office. Oh, I thank God. This is what God has done for me. Blah, blah, blah. I came so you pray for me. I said, beautiful. Will we pray? But may I ask you a question? Upon getting your letter of appointment and after rejoicing, did you care to ask God for a job description? That God, this city, you are sending me to another Nigeria. What are you sending me there to go and do? And this, my beloved brother, said, yes. I said, fine. What is the job description? Because that is what we are going to pray on. He said, number one, God told me that the youth in that place, especially those in the church, are wayward. They are not discipled. The word of God is scarce. So I get there. I'm going to focus on discipleship. One-on-one Bible study, in-depth teaching of the word of God. I said, bro, is that all? He said, yes. Okay, let's pray. We prayed. When we finished praying, I said, brother, while we were praying, I feel the need to warn you not to deviate. Keep the focus on the primary assignment. You are lucky that God has given you job description. He said, God will help me. Do you know, bro, hadn't spent 3 months when the youth came to him and said, sir, it has always been a shame for us that as big as our church is, we don't have a church bus carrying the logo and the name of our church. He said, actually, that's not the best. And the request we want to make is this, that you set up a bus purchase committee and you will be the chairman. And the pastor agreed to be the chairman. And they even agreed that they will be keeping the money they are raising with him. He agreed. And after they raised, I think, over ₦1 million or close to ₦2 million, they had a meeting with him again. If you are coming from Western Nigeria, you must have known so many dealers in Ibadan, in Ilorin, in Lagos. So, sir, you are the one to help us to make contact with a dealer that will sell the bus for us. They were setting a trap for him he didn't know. He made contact, a very transparent one. The bus arrived with receipt and everything. And the same youth leaders went to zonal leaders of the organization with all the details of their evidences. How that a pastor that has not spent a year had plundered the church. The head of the zonal leaders, was spinning. Without wanting to give him the chance to explain himself, immediate suspension. Bam. He hadn't spent a year. Immediate suspension. And good enough, I had something doing in that part of northern Nigeria. It was all the training for some people there. And we drove straight to go and check the man of God. And they said, it's no longer here. What happened? This is where he said they sent him to. People were reluctant to tell the story until I got another person in that city who told me the whole story. I said, oh, Barry, and we warned this brother. Did God send him there to go and chairman the bus committee? Abba. That was too hellish. The error of here and there. He lost his primary ministry. You see, if you keep to the Bible, that devil, that demon is not born to implicate you. Are you hearing what you're saying? If you keep to the word of God, he could have just escaped that trap by reminding himself that God sent me here for a specific assignment. I had not even done it. How can I be doing something else? And I don't think things got balanced for him afterwards. I don't think so. As you are not in touch, be careful of lack of focus. Be careful of lack of focus. I knew why God sent me into mission, what he wanted me to do. But while in the school of mission, a 10-month training in the school of mission, there was a kind of a leadership training for 3 months organized for head of denominations across Africa. And this man called me and said, Brother Shola, I've been watching you. And no wonder, when I was trying to find out a few more things about you, I learned you are a leader on campus, even you are once the president of Corpus Fellowship, blah, blah, blah. Someone like you, actually, I've been praying for. I am the director of missions for my organization, a very big denomination. And I've been trusting God for a deputy director. And God said, you are to be the one. Honestly, I can't wait for you to finish your 10-month training and come over. I smiled. When he finished, I said, thank you, sir, for the offer. But in the first place to be here, I was sent here by God. Give me time to pray. Remember, it was to spend 3 months. I was to spend 10 months there. The first, Brother Shola, he could let you buy a lot to go from God now. Common sense, I just came here more. But Olomba funya ni offer. I said, thank you, sir. Just be patient with me. You still have 2 more months to spend. God is faithful. 3 more days for him to finish the 3 months. God spoke through a revelation. So with boldness, I walk up to him. I said, sir, once again, thank you for the offer, but my God said no. He got so angry and tried lati gba lowo iya. Oni nu iya yen lo a joko si. Mo ni, sir, with all respect, any iya that is going to be a ladder for me to get to where I'm going, come on, you are doing me injustice to try to deliver me. I'm okay with my kuli kuli and gari here. Thank you, sir. 3 days after he finished his own 3 months, the man left. But do you know what happened? The Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? The man had planned to leave the big organization where he was the director of mission. I mean, really big. When I say big, branches all over Nigeria, many parts of Africa, Europe, Western Europe, Central Europe, everywhere, America. Really big. So if you're a gullible fellow and you hear deputy director, come on, if God is there, God is there. I said the man had planned to resign to start his own church. And he just needed somebody mature to start together with him. That was the plan. So about a year later, we ran into each other in the city of Ibadan. And he laughed. He said, Brother Shola, how long are you? Actually, Mufe Bere Church ni Mude Feka Jolo Bere. He was saying it so lightly that I got scared of him. That is that how you toy with somebody's life? God delivered me because of focus. And 4 years after, we met again. We didn't have opportunity to talk, but another person said, Ogaye, Otunde Sapada, Wasi, Ibitoti Kuro. What happened? The one he started was not working out. So when he became hungry, he ran away from the city where he started it. I said, so what is he doing here now? They said they gave him the post of a messenger because he could not go back to director of mission again. I said, all right. Maintain focus even if it is difficult. It's not a boasting, and I'm sorry to say it today. Sorry, he can't stand beside me. In every area. Maintain focus. If God is the one that has spoken yesterday and he has not said anything contrary today, stay there and be doing what he asks you to do. Be raising disciples for me in this church. Keep on doing it. To help yourself out of divine instruction is to program yourself not to be able to stand firm to the end. Lack of focus has finished so many people. And I'm just going to mention one more and then we pray briefly. That is overconfidence. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 34 and 35, Peter boasted, "Master, what are you talking about? If everybody left you, forget it. Where am I going? Even if we need to fight physically, don't you know whom I am?" Overconfidence. And that's what happened to some people. Listen, when we are talking about things like this, God cuckoo sees your heart. Somebody may be laughing. Yeah, someone kindergarten the robo mbasoron. A bitter white day could sinting your backsliding. Overconfidence. When everybody is praying, asking for God's help, is boasting of his spiritual muscle. And the same Peter that was overconfident in the presence of his master, just a tiny girl, Peter could no longer stand firm. But thank God he learned his lesson. And he learned it permanently. Come on, when God is speaking to you, don't be overconfident. Rather ask him for help. When he shows you something that has turned many kings to pieces of bread, rather look up to him and say, "God, you must help me. I need your help. Where those men fell, I must not fall there. And I'm going to give you just 2 minutes to plead with God to help you." As you are doing that, I'll be doing that for myself also. That please, Almighty God, help me in this journey. Please help me. Give me grace to be true, Almighty God. Abundant grace to follow. I know your grace is enough for me. Where others fell, I will not fall there. Where other people's journey were terminated, I will break through beyond it and run the race to the end. The mighty name of Jesus. Help me, Almighty God. Give me grace to follow. Abundant grace to follow. I need your grace to follow. Your grace is enough. Give me grace, give me grace to follow. Abundant grace to follow. I need your grace to follow. Your grace is enough. As we take that song one more time, I want to ask for the servant of God, Deputy Provost, to please come and bless us with a word of prayer. We sing it one more time. Standing. Okay, I thought that's it. I will request for the registrar to come and bless us with a word of prayer. We'll take it just one more, just one more time. With your hand lifted up to heaven. That the grace of God will be abundant upon your life. That the Lord is going to help you. That you are not going to fall into the pitfall of the enemy. You are not going to fall into the snare of the enemy. Lift your hands to God and plead to God.
We believe that the salvation of your soul is guaranteed by the engrafted word of God you've tuned your ears and hearts to. For more of such inspiring messages, connect with us on our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Telegram, and YouTube.